all the way up into second grade. We invite anybody to take advantage of that, but also make sure everybody knows that little ones are always welcome in our service, and we like those babies. We've been talking about clarity a lot today, and clarity is about babies, and babies are a fun thing. I get my best amens come from babies, so never hesitate to bring those babies into our service. But for those that are staying and those of you that are stuck with me this morning, turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13, and we're going to be reading verses 42 through 52. And that might sound familiar to some of you, but that's okay. We'll talk about that again a little bit today. Acts 13, we're going to read verses 42 through 52. And if you remember last week, we were going through the sermon that Paul had preached in the synagogue at Pisidian Antioch. And so today, what we're going to say, we talked about the message and really kind of focused in last week on what Paul was saying. What was he teaching? And what was this gospel message that he had for the synagogue and for the people of Pisidian Antioch? But today, we get to see the response from the city. So if you would, please stand for the reading of God's word. And we're going to pick up in verse 42. And the word of God says this, it says, as they were leaving, the people urged them, this is Paul and Barnabas, to speak about these matters the following Sabbath. After the synagogue had been dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who were speaking with them and urging them to continue in the grace of God. The following Sabbath, almost the whole town assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what Paul was saying, insulting him. Paul and Barnabas boldly replied, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you reject and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we are turning to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, to bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they rejoiced and honored the word of the Lord, and all who had been appointed to eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jews incited the prominent God-fearing women and the leading men of the city. They stirred up the persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their district. But Paul and Barnabas shook the dust off their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. You know, Yogi Berra once said, it's like deja vu all over again. And undoubtedly, if you attended Sunday school this morning, you know what I'm talking about. Because if you were in Sunday school, and I hope you were, because let me tell you, sermons are great, but sermons are easily forgotten. But Sunday school sticks with us a little bit better. And so if you are attending and you're attending this church and you want to really get deeper into the Word of God and really have that Word stick in your heart and in your mind, and you want to really start to grow in your faith and grow in community with this church, I would strongly recommend that you come to Sunday school. Starts at 9:45. We usually really get rolling. I don't know, Joe, you might be more punctual than my group, but we usually really get rolling about 10 o'clock. Don't laugh that hard, Jerry. I didn't need that kind of, but we usually really get rolling about 10 o'clock, and I would strongly encourage you, come to Sunday school, because that's your chance to really interact with the Word. But in my 11 years of being the pastor of this church, never once has the Sunday school lesson and the morning sermon series landed on the exact same verses at the exact same time. Today that happened. And so thankfully, Sheila Mullins didn't leave. Well, that's probably why we made you speak, so that you wouldn't try to sneak out the door. But this tells me something today. One, either I really needed to study this passage today, or two, somebody in this room, or all of us in this room, really needed to study this passage today together. For those of you that don't know, Yogi Berra, who I mentioned at the beginning of our time, was a baseball player, born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri, but was famous for playing for the New York Yankees. And despite a very successful career, he was a catcher. He is more known for the funny things that he said than what he accomplished on the baseball diamond. The one that I mentioned this morning, it's like deja vu all over again, is one of his most famous sayings. However, he also said like things like this: you can observe a lot by watching. If you come to a fork in the road, take it. Nobody goes to that restaurant anymore. It's too crowded. These are supposed to be funny. I feel like I'm dying up here. He was known for saying, I usually take a 2-hour nap between 1 and 4 o'clock. He said, a nickel isn't worth a dime anymore. And there's actually one more saying that he said that actually also pertains to our passage this morning. And probably what he was most famous for saying, and one you've probably said yourself, is it ain't over until it's over. In our passage today, Paul and Barnabas face their first real organized persecution on their missionary trip. Now, this is not the first persecution for the church as a whole. In fact, they began to experience persecution long before Paul and Barnabas went on a missionary trip. In fact, the first organized, thought-out, systematic persecution of the early church was actually started by Paul back when he was known better as Saul. But at this point, Paul and Barnabas have gone through Cyprus, and for the most part, we don't hear about the response, though I'm sure it was mixed like everywhere else. They had gone to the main main city of Cyprus, to Paphos, and they had experienced opposition. They had their face off against Bar-Jesus, but that was just one man. And even then, that one man led to the leader of the island of Cyprus coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. But here we see something different happen with the good news. See, here in Pisidian Antioch, we see an organized resistance to the gospel message. In fact, not only do we see this organized resistance to the gospel message, but we see a group of people who strongly desire that the name of Jesus be silenced. But the good news and the gospel message that Paul and Barnabas is sharing cannot be stopped and would not be stopped. And we see in our passage today what the Lord can do even in the face of adversity. So let's dive into our text today. As we have already heard in our time in Sunday school this morning, that the beginning of the passage really kind of comes off, at least initially, as positive. They have preached this gospel message. They have delivered the good news. They have called the people to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved from their sin. And then when all is said and done and the synagogue service is dismissed, they say, come back next week. We want to hear a little bit more about what you have to say. We want to know a little bit more about this good news that you have. I was told Sunday school class this morning, and I want to share with the rest of you, this is the kind of textbook yellow light response to the gospel. And we talked about this. If you don't remember this, a lot of times when we share our faith with people, we can get kind of either a red light, a yellow light, or a green light response to the gospel. So a red light is you're done. They don't want to hear it. They're not interested. They don't want to have the conversation. They don't want to give their life to Christ. They want the conversation to be over. This can sound some things like, I'm not interested. This can say something about like, I don't like talking about these type of things. It could just be a no. It could be a, well, that's great for you, but that's not what I want. These are all kind of those red light responses that say you're done. And when we face those, and we talked about those in Sunday school class this morning, hopefully I imagine you guys did as well, when you face those, you are cordial. You leave the door open for future conversations. Okay, thank you. Thank you for listening. If you ever want to have a further conversation about this, just letting you know, I'm always available. And then you let the conversation go and you pray for that person. You pray that the Holy Spirit will do a work in that person's life so that maybe someday in the future they will want to hear the gospel. On the opposite side of that is a green light. And a green light is when you share your faith with somebody and you come to that place and say, would you like to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Or if you're using the three circles, you may say, what's preventing you from making Jesus Christ the Lord of their life? And they say, nothing. I would like to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And we celebrate those. And those do happen, by the way. Sometimes I think we get so focused on when people say no, we forget that people say yes. And so we don't share. But when they do say yes, then we say, would you like to pray with me and to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? And we celebrate those times. And let me tell you, I've got to experience those. I know many people in this room have got to experience those. They're awesome. And when you share your faith with someone and they respond by wanting to receive the gospel, you know what that does? That makes you want to share your faith a whole lot more. But then there's these yellow light responses. And I feel like that's really what we're seeing here in the passage, where they say, thank you for sharing. What you're saying is interesting. I'm not ready to make a decision today, but I would like to talk about it more. And so they may say something like, well, I'm not ready to do that right now. Or, that's interesting, but I'm not sure if I'm ready. Or, I want to know more. And those are perfectly fine. And guess what happens? They say, would you come back next week? Would you come back next Sabbath and tell us more about this? And that's a lot of times what happens with us, only we need to be a little bit more proactive about it. When we have that moment, they're like, thank you for sharing. I don't know if I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I don't know if I'm ready to become a Christian. Go, that's totally fine. But let's get together and talk. We can meet in person. I can text you. We can call. Whatever you want to do. I want to answer whatever questions you want to have. But I want to set up a time to have this conversation again. Create a gospel appointment. And say, let's get together here in a week and let's talk about it. That'll give you a time to think about it. That'll give you time to process it. But it gives you an opportunity to think about what's being said, and then we can talk about it some more. See, these people had just heard the gospel and they were wanting to hear more, but not necessarily ready to believe and give their life to Christ. They had just heard that what Paul had proclaimed to them, his argument about Jesus being the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies, that was the thing that they all held in common. He even invited them to believe in Jesus. They recognized that his argument was sound, that he wasn't saying anything that was clearly blasphemous or wrong, and so they wanted to hear more. Either to make sure that what he was saying was true, or so that if there was a falsehood in it somewhere, they might be able to finally recognize it and understand accordingly. But one group in this synagogue did a little bit more than that. In fact, look again at verse 43 for just a moment, and it says this. It says, after the synagogue had been dismissed, many of these Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, and who were speaking with them and urging them to continue in the grace of God. These weren't people that were like, oh yeah, come back next week, we want to hear about it again. But these were people that said, hey, where are you staying? I want to hear more about this now. These were the people that were saying like, I don't know, like I want to know more about this. What are you doing for lunch? And so they began to do a little bit more than just wait for a week to pass by to hear again, but they began to meet up with Paul and with Barnabas throughout the week, and they were hearing more and they were asking questions. They continued to seek out Paul and Barnabas in order to better understand what this message was and what this message meant for them. Through this time, Paul and Barnabas were encouraging them, they were discipling them, and urging them to walk in grace and not by the letter of the law. And so we begin to recognize that throughout all of their instruction, it's the gospel. It's you are saved by grace through faith, not apart from the works of the law. And so they wanted him to really begin to understand that it was grace. I believe that it was because of these kind of interactions that Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 15, these words. He says, we are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. And yet, because we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we ourselves have believed in Christ Jesus. This was so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified. And let me tell you, this kind of message draws a crowd. This type of message creates a movement, and that is exactly what we see in the city of Pisidian Antioch. But the catch is, it was not the movement that necessarily everybody wanted. Look again at verse 44. It says, "The following Sabbath, almost the whole town assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what Paul was saying, insulting them." See, the message that they had shared had started to make the rounds. And imagine this, I think really the key part of all of this was when it says in verse 43 that there were those Jews and devout converts to Judaism. So in this group of people that were meeting in the synagogue, you had the ethnic Jews who had been raised to believe this. They attended synagogue because that's who they had been their whole life, and they were these ethnic Jews. But then there were these Gentiles who had heard about Yahweh and heard about Moses and heard about the law and saw how these people lived and said, man, there's something to this. And so they had gone through the process, and they had converted or were converting to Judaism. And they were there. Well, they still had all these Gentile relatives. And they had all these family and friends and all these people that they knew and worked with and associated with that weren't Jewish, that weren't anything, maybe even worshiping idols and following Greek gods and Roman gods and all the other nonsense that they could be following. And suddenly their friend who had converted to Judaism comes and says, "I have great news. There are these guys. And these guys are telling us about this person named Jesus that was over in Jerusalem. And guess what? This guy named Jesus, they're saying he was God in the flesh. And that he was perfect in every way. And he died on a cross. And he says that he died on the cross where Pilate, you remember Pilate? I remember Pilate. Pilate, where was Pilate? In Jerusalem. And so he was Pilate, and then he got crucified, and guess what? He rose from the grave 3 days later, and you're not going to believe this. One of the guys saw him raised from the dead. No cap. You've got to come check this out. Why do I need to check this out? Because what they're telling us is that we can have a relationship with God apart from the laws of Moses. And that we can be in a good relationship with Him, be in right standing towards God, not by following a bunch of rules, by simply believing that Jesus was the Jews' Messiah. And what they're saying is that the Jews' Messiah, that He was actually the Messiah, the Savior of everyone. And let me tell you something. When they were talking, I felt something. There's something real about this. And hey, you know what? You don't have to believe me. They're going to do it again this coming Saturday. You should come with me. And you imagine one of these converts to Judaism, one of these guys goes and tells their brother or their family. And he says, hey, come. And they go, all right, I'll come. And then they tell someone else. And maybe just all of them brought two people. And so all of these Gentiles say, just bring a couple of people. And then a couple more people bring a couple. And the next thing you know, it says that the whole town had shown up. That the whole town had showed up at the synagogue that day. That it was a massive crowd. That it was as if the whole city was there. But that kind of made a problem. See, there was a group of people within this synagogue, and they weren't really interested in having the whole city come to synagogue. In fact, they liked synagogue just the way it was. And they thought everything was going just fine. And they didn't see the need to have the whole city coming to hear this Paul and this Barnabas. And while at first they were like, oh, I want to hear more about this, now they're looking at it and they're saying, listen, I was interested about this message, but I am not interested in this, in what has to come with it. In fact, as we read in verse 45, we see that some of the Jews turned away from the gospel message very, very quickly. So much so that even though the week prior they had wanted to hear more about what Paul and Barnabas had to say about the Messiah, this time they did not want Paul and Barnabas to even get one clear word out. And so it says that as Paul and Barnabas stood up to speak again, as they had been invited to do, some of the Jews began to immediately shout back and ridicule and mock them, insulting everything they said, blaspheming God, because they didn't want this message out, because they didn't want what came with it. It was as if they liked the idea of the Messiah coming. And specifically, they liked the idea of the Messiah coming to save them, but they did not like the idea that it meant he would save everyone else also. They saw their own little kingdom being threatened by the message of these missionaries. And it was as if they were good with Jesus, but not if it cost them something. And I think that's a reality that we need to internalize ourselves today. See, a lot of us like Jesus, and we like the idea of Jesus. We like the idea that Jesus loves me. I heard a pastor once say that people will say, hey, Jesus loves you, and they go, great, I love me too. And we like the idea that Jesus loves me and the idea that Jesus is going to save me, but we don't like the idea that Jesus is going to cost me something. That in order to pursue Christ, I will have to give up my comforts, my way, my ideas. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Luke chapter 14. It says, now great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned around and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you wanting to build a tower doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost and to make sure he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, after he has laid a foundation and cannot finish it, all the onlookers will ridicule him, saying, this man started to build and wasn't able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king will not first sit down and decide if he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If not, while the other is still far off, he sends a delegate and asks for terms of peace. In the same way, therefore, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. See, these people were willing to listen, maybe even believe the good news, but only if it was for them. And they didn't have to change anything. But they were unwilling to accept that it was for all people and that it would change everything. And that's something we need to think about too. See, a lot of us are good with a little Jesus. A little Jesus that fits in our life. And just enough Jesus to make sure we feel good and that nothing changes and that one day we get to go to heaven. But we're not good with a Jesus that calls us to sacrifice everything for his namesake and his glory. Now that doesn't mean that you will have to sacrifice everything. But it does mean that when we approach the throne, we come with our hands open. And we say, Lord, all that I have is yours. See, a lot of us like the idea of getting saved, but we don't like the idea of surrendering all. And yet that's exactly what he calls us to do. Well, the Jews fell in that category, at least some of the Jews in that synagogue that day. And so they rejected the good news of the gospel. And not only did they reject it, but they tried to kill it. See, their goal in all of this, make no mistake, when they were there and they began to mock them and ridicule, they began to contradict them and speak over them, their goal that day was to see the message of these missionaries ended. And they wanted them to leave that place in shame and in silence so that the name of Jesus would not and could not go anywhere else. But they couldn't do it. Because the reality is they could not stop the good news from going forth. In fact, not only did they not kill the gospel message that day, but ultimately they helped it go farther and wider. You will notice this is a theme throughout the scriptures. Again and again and again, people try to stifle the good news of the gospel of Jesus, even going back to the Old Testament. And over again, God steps into horrible situations and uses them to reveal His glory and His power and His salvation to all of humanity. Jesus speaks of this even in the midst of his crucifixion as he promises the Holy Spirit. Listen to these words by Jesus in John chapter 16. He says, "But now I am going away to him who sent me. And not one of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' Yet because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is to your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." See, Christ knew even in that moment that he was about to be crucified, and even though he would rise from the grave 3 days later, that ultimately he would ascend and return back to the Father, and he was going to leave his disciples and leave his apostles to do the work of the church. And he knew that would bring them sorrow, and that all that they would have to endure over the next few days would absolutely break their hearts. And yet, he also knew that through all of that, they would receive the Holy Spirit, that no longer would God walk beside them in the person of Jesus, but after that day, God would be inside of them as the Holy Spirit. And it was better for them in that case. And the best news is that that same Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, is inside of us, working in us today if we are in Christ. It is the Spirit that makes Paul bold in our passage today. And it is the Spirit that was going to make sure that the gospel message went forward. And that's exactly what happens as we look at the result of this. Paul, in his boldness, responds and he says, "You know what? It is necessary that the word of the Lord, that the word be preached to the Jews first, but if you consider yourself unworthy of it, if you reject it, then we will turn to the Gentiles, because that is what God has called us to do." And he quotes the prophet Isaiah. And where the Jews thought they were ending it, if we pick up in verse 48, we see, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they rejoiced and honored the word of the Lord. And all who had been appointed to eternal life got saved." See, in the midst of all of this, they thought that they were ending the gospel message, but in reality, they were just allowing it to break forth in a way that they never intended. And even though they stirred up the crowds, and even though they got the whole city against Paul and Barnabas, so much so that they had to leave Pisidian Antioch and make their way to Iconium, the work had already been accomplished. And a church now existed in Antioch. And so Paul and Barnabas were able to go on to Iconium. And I love the last verse. I want you to look at the last verse again. Verse 52 says, and the disciples, notice now they're not converts. They're not Gentiles. There's not Jews and Gentile converts. There's none of that. Now, the only word to describe those who had placed their hope and faith in Jesus Christ is the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. There were disciples now in Pisidian Antioch. The church had been planted and the work was ready to go forward. We all, every single person in this room, goes through trials. Sometimes we go through trials because God is drawing us in close to ourselves. Sometimes we go through trials so that we might recognize sin in our life, so that we repent. But sometimes we go through trials because God is doing a work. And through those trials, people come to faith. And through those trials, people hear the good news of the gospel, or even God moves us into a greater mission and a greater purpose. But I want you to understand something. There is nothing this world or the enemy can throw at you that will stop the word of the Lord. And I hope that encourages you today. Because I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know how you've seen maybe your ministry or your life get rattled because of things going on. I want you to know today that if God is doing a work in your life and He is calling you into service and into a greater mission, that you cannot fail if you are doing the Lord's work. That Jesus is going to do amazing things even through our setbacks and our stumbles, even through the stop signs that we may face, those red lights again and again. You and your work are not done. Our work is not done. And as the song we often sing says, we press on. Because we are not done yet. You are not done yet. This church is not done yet. And the kingdom is not done yet. We can't stop. And we won't stop. Because outside of these walls, there is a lost and dying world who needs to hear about Jesus. And nothing is going to keep us from that. If you are with us today and you want to know more about what it means to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, we would invite you to respond today. You've heard the gospel message in the midst of the story today. And the gospel message is this, is that God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son. And His name is Jesus. That He lived a perfect life. That He died on the cross for your sins and for mine. That He took the punishment and the penalty for our sins on the cross. And then He rose from the grave 3 days later to give us new life. And the Bible says that if we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, that we will be saved. And so the invitation to you today is to, first and foremost, to believe. To believe that Jesus really is the Christ, that He is the Son of God, God the Son, that He did everything the Bible said He did, that He died on a cross and He rose from the grave 3 days later. And even now, He's alive, seated at the right hand of God the Father. We invite you to believe that and then to confess Jesus as the Lord of your life, to do that thing that it talked about surrendering everything up to Jesus to say, from now on, from this day forward, I will follow You. And if that's what you would like to do today, then we would invite you. I'm going to be standing up front. We're going to sing one more song. And I'd love to share with you a little bit about that, but you don't have to come up front. You probably came with somebody. They want you here because they believe this. Talk to them. It's okay. But maybe you're here today and you've been facing those setbacks. And you're not sure and you feel like you're just getting pounded. We want to let you know that, you know, these steps, we have these open. And if you'd like to come and you'd like to hand something over to the Lord, if you'd like to go to Him for guidance, if you just need that time with Him, we would invite you to come up. And maybe some way God's moving in your heart today and He's telling you don't give up and you just need to take something to Him. We want you to do that. But however God is speaking to you today, we would invite you to respond. Let's pray together. My God, my joy, thank you so much for your word. God, we praise you for the resilience and the steadfastness that we see from Paul and Barnabas in our passage today. God, we know that it's the Spirit at work in them that they were able to respond in this way. And God, we praise you that you have given us the Spirit and you have given us this boldness to make your message known. Lord, we praise you today because we know that the gospel message, that the good news that Jesus Christ has saved all of us if we would believe in Him, Lord, that message cannot and will not stop. And so, God, we ask, first and foremost, if there's anybody in this place that is ready to give their life to Jesus, that today would be the day they do it. And Lord, for the rest of us, God, we pray that you would allow us to be a part of that story. Lord, that you would let us come alongside, that we would be ambassadors of this good news so that we can go share the good news of the gospel everywhere we go. And God, we're willing to face whatever setbacks, whatever challenges, whatever opposition we might face because we know that this message has to go forward. And we know that these people cannot stop us. So God, use us this day. And God, give us all that we need to make you known. Lord, we ask these things in the precious name of Christ Jesus. Amen.